Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts. It's
Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Is this, you know, what kind of impact did he have on the season? The fact that he was on in relief, he came on as a starting role, and he's kind of picked that up and ran with it.
He's been really good this season. I know he struggled early on, but I think his first one out of the bullpen was in San Diego, if I'm not mistaken, right? That Sunday game. Then he came in Arizona, and then after that he took off. Just the strike throwing, you know, was different. When he went to the bullpen, he was more aggressive, more efficient, more quick outs, and the stuff kind of like got better. He made some adjustments mechanically, but I think it was more the mindset that helped him out. He, you know, when I told him he was going to the bullpen, he didn't like it, but the next day he came in, he's like, I'm ready. And I'm going to the bullpen today, and you know, whatever you need, we'll do. And you know, obviously, we start doing the opener thing with him. It worked out. Then in Seattle, we let him start, and he helped us that Monday, kind of like resetting the bullpen and helping us out. And he took off, and we're very proud of him. You start looking at everything with him, not only the real numbers, but under the hood numbers, and he's become one of the best pitchers in the big leagues the last 2.5 months. Looking forward for him, same thing. Go out there, perform. And he's begging to come out of the bullpen on Sunday. We're not going to do that. But it's been fun. He's grown so much, matured so much. He understands the whole team concept. He really likes it here. That's something that he's been loud and clear about it. He loves it here. He loves the atmosphere. Obviously, not the results the last 2 years, but he's a guy that, talking to Haim towards the end there, you know, like, he's one of those that you start, it's intriguing, right? What he can do and where we at in the game, you know, this hybrid kind of thing. It's interesting, to be honest with you.
You look at him still as a hybrid going into next year, or do you look at him more just like he's earned the chance to start again, or how do you look at it?
Well, like I said before, you know, I think the only thing I said about next year. If Chris is healthy, that'll be my goal for him to start next year in Seattle, opening day. But besides that, we'll talk about it. But the fact that he can do it, you never know. He might be kind of like Alex was talking about, a six-man rotation. We can go different ways, but we've been telling our guys, you know, be ready to be a starter until somebody tells you the opposite. He gives you innings, he stays healthy, his stuff is getting better, so I don't see why not he can be a starter next year.
But, I mean, the hybrid thing is interesting, right? Like, I mean, you've done it in short bursts, but you've never done it for this.
It's hard to do it, and I mean, we were able to do it because of Monday and Thursday. Yeah. They were really good for us. The ERA was zero throughout the season, but we were able to reset a lot.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's a physical kid, very strong, he bounces back well. I think there was only one spot there that, when we look back, we had to do it. It was the Houston thing, and then the LA that same week. He did his best. It didn't work out. Once it was Friday, I think it was, against the Dodgers, but overall, physically, I have no doubts that he can do whatever he wants, you know, as far as like innings. But from my end, I think structure and kind of like help him out to go through his routine and work against delivery, which also probably was beneficial for him because it took the thought process out of it and I just got to compete. But there's stuff that starters have to do, you know, as far as like the 4 days in between, and I do believe he can start.
Verdugo's been struggling down the stretch. What are you seeing in his at-bats?
The swing and miss is something that he usually doesn't do. He's been swinging and missing a lot. He's not walking. Just that three walk day the other day. He's hitting the ball in the on the ground. I think it's more mechanically than anything else. He had some good games when, you know, he got hot at that point, hitting the ball in the air. But lately, it's been a lot of ground balls and not going the other way. So it's one of those that, you know what's going on. He works at it, but, you know, it takes time sometimes to get out of it. And, you know, he'll play tomorrow. He'll play Sunday. But not the end of the season that he was looking for or we were looking for.
I mean, we know how highly you, like, how much talent you often talk about, how much talent you see in him. Are you surprised that the direction of his numbers have gone the way they have over these years?
Yeah, I look at it the other day. So I don't get caught up too much on those, but I always look at his walks, and the walks always tells me where we at. And I was very surprised that it was only three in the last 70 at-bats. You know, he's a lot better in that regard. You know, his plate discipline is a good one. He's able to foul pitches off and work the count, but it hasn't happened the last month.
What? By the way, you mentioned this a couple times, swing decisions versus plate discipline. Can you explain the distinction?
Well, all depends, you know, how you grade it, right? Like, I mean, sometimes a bad swing decision is taking a fastball right in the middle, you know, but if it's a long inning and we need to, the game will dictate what you do. So as far as like grades and how people see it, you know, that's a negative, but that's not a negative. We've been talking to certain guys to hunt pitches in certain area of the plate, you know, in or out, and then you try to cover both. And yeah, you might get a positive on a swing that it was on the outer third in the heart of the plate, right, kind of. But, you know, as far as plate discipline, was that your best swing? Or was that, you know, what we really wanted to do? And that's something we're going to hammer with these guys. You look around the league, and, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that they, you know, yeah, grind at bats and all that, but they take pitches, you know, especially now with us, with two strikes. There's a lot of chase with two strikes. We cannot be afraid to take a pitch in the edge of the zone and take a walk. If they call it a strike, they call it a strike in certain situations. So that's what I mean with that, you know, like sometimes you got to be careful with all this lingo, swing decisions, plate discipline. Like, yeah, I think plate discipline dictates what you do as far as swing decisions.
What do you think are the most important stats?
W's.
Hit for hitting.
Hidden runs. Yeah. Good. Carlos Beltran told me once that his whole goal throughout his career was to score 100 runs. If you score 100 runs, you know, over, let's say you play 140, 150 games, you did everything right. You got on, you hit for, you slugged, you took your walks, you ran the bases well. So you score 100, you're in a good place.
Remember, how do you feel about X Woba?
The expected numbers, man, sometimes it's tough.
I was going to say, remember Correa.
I mean, the expected numbers for them was what, like 81 wins? I got 100.
Yeah. I remember Correa in the postseason, I think he was on TV, and he rattled off, like, this is what GMs are, and I think Woba was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know.
He was trying to make a lot of money.
Yeah, like, did a good job. Man.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. Not everybody knows the numbers, but I think, you know, if you look around the league, and the guys that have scored 100, they've been really good, you know, really good. So that's what I mean, I talked to them about it. Like, if your goal is to score 100 and you do, you had a great, great offensive year.
Several of your players have said over the last couple of months, if we had a couple new starting pitchers, everything would have been okay. Do you think that's too simple to say that there's more than just, you know, two pitchers going to fix everything?
And you needed to catch the baseball, and you needed to hit with men in scoring position. So I don't think that's fair to say. From my end, you know, obviously everybody's going to have their opinion. I said it the other day in the EI, you know, like, we all love to be GMs, you know, but it's not as easy as that, you know. And obviously we put ourselves in a bad spot early in the season. We didn't play good baseball at one point in August, and that's the reason we are where we are.
I mean, I know you've got to wait to see what happens with the leadership and everything, but I would imagine there's things that you want to, you know, change the way you guys do things or adjust the way you guys do things to fix the things that you're just talking about.
And some things that I have to fix too, some things I have to be better at. So we do this every year, you know, we go over our program and what you need to do to improve. And obviously the last 2 years we haven't improved that much in certain areas, and you know, just look in the mirror and study whatever you have and be ready for next year.
Are the exit conversations with guys any more different because, you know, you don't have somebody who's like in that top job? Or?
Not really, no. Yeah. I mean, Eddie's in it, Ben is in it, BOH is in it, so it's the usual. Yeah.
You kind of talked about Rafaela and just how much of a difference maker he can be in center field. If you have to continue on with Yoshida and left, like, how much do you think having Rafaela in center would help Yoshida with just obviously his range? And
good try, but I think Yoshida has been a lot better the last month and a half. He was like -8, I think it was, and you know, now I think the last month and a half, I think he's at neutral. Getting better jumps, better routes. He's improving. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Sedan needs repetitions too. For how much we like him in center field, the offensive part of it, we still have to work. You know, the chase percentage with two strikes early in the count, all that stuff, going the other way. That's part of, you know, kind of like the final product, the final things that we have to do for him to become an everyday player. But obviously, whoever plays center, it's going to help him. You know, we're going to have an athletic guy most likely in center, so they should help him out.
When you look back on it with Yoshida, do you think everybody underestimated how much the WBC would take out of players?
Well, in his case, I mean, Turner kind of like turned on at the end, right? I mean, I don't think the WBC took a toll on him. You know, it just, first time here, 162, the traveling. We've been talking to him on a weekly basis. He actually feels like trying to make adjustments was harder than he thought it would be. And that's the reason, you know, he hasn't been able to maintain what he did in early in August and in the summer, right? But there was a lot of traveling with him from the get-go. Press conference, go back home. Fort Myers, go back home, the tournament, and then this season. But I don't think the tournament had to do much with what happened to him. I think it was more a combination of him making adjustments and obviously the league doing the same thing.
I mean, they had that, you know, you talk about the travel. I mean, you think just the idea of, okay, you know, come to Fort Myers and get ready for the season will make things a lot easier for him?
probably, but I'm not going to go against their wish to play in the tournament, right?
No, I'm saying next year.
I mean, we already have a plan, and he'll show up early like this year, but there's a lot of stuff that he's going to do throughout. Kiyoshi's going over there. He's going to Boston first, do a few things, then go to Fort Myers. So we're in a good spot with that. Yeah, he'll benefit from that.
MLB came out with, I think, saying it's 23 minutes on the average faster games than last year.
No, that was the last month and a half.
Tell me about it.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back.
Playoff baseball. I mean, like, games that matter will change. You know, guys are understanding how to use the clock, step off, slow it down. The pitch come, malfunction. Yeah, they got that one down. So, and every pitch matter, you know. So it's going to get longer. That does, but I think we're in a great place, honestly. We noticed it early in the season, and from my end, when I can get home and hang out with the family a little bit before they go to bed, you know, or just, you know, watch a West Coast game, you know, and that you can tell. And I think the fans they like it. You guys like it, so we're in a good place.
Well, that's what we're gonna ask. Was it what you thought it would be? I mean, we were all trying to guess, right?
Yeah, but better than no issues. I thought there was gonna be more stuff going on, and after the first month, it was over. That tells you about these people, these guys. You know, they're elite at what they do. I noticed it in the game against the Yankees when the pitch come didn't work, and we played without it. Nobody cared, you know, like, okay, here goes the signs. Everybody was on time, no issues, and it was a quick game.
Oh, have you done your homework assignment on the MVP voting?
Not yet. You got two days.
You got two more days.
You got 2 days.
Okay. Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox, and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.